All right, welcome back to another episode of Just Our Look podcast. Today, I am joined by Tiffany Hunt. Surprise, surprise, she did not go to Seton Hall. So that's a plus. But she did go to Howard, and we did have another Howard guest on here. So Tiffany, yay. How are you?
Oh, wow. I'm doing good. So excited to be on this podcast. I feel like I've known you forever. Crazy, but I feel like it's perfect for you with your personality.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
To be here.
Oh my gosh, stop it. Thank you. But yes, I'm so excited for you to be here because not only are we like relatively in the same space, but like you have gone on to like do like your own thing, which we need to see more of. We need to hear more people speak about it because I feel like we're all just figuring out as we go along. So, like, why not commiserate in that and learn from each other, you know?
I agree. Content creation, digital media, media in the internet, in social media is just very nuanced.
For real.
Very new. I know my parents are like, this is interesting what you're doing, which I'll get into more later. But yeah, this field is definitely like, it feels very brand new. But there's just so much like money I feel like also to be made within social media and,
absolutely,
like, ways of like entrepreneurship and lanes that you could just create for yourself now. Like it's endless opportunities,
right? So, yeah. So just to like jump right in, so I just said, you know, you went to Howard, you know, what did you study, what did you do, when did you graduate, you know?
Yes, so as Kimani said, I did go to Howard University, the real HU, okay, period. but when I was at Howard, I studied journalism, so I majored in journalism, and then I minored in sports administration. During this time at Howard, I went there fall of 2017, and I graduated in spring of 2021, so graduated on time, by the grace of God.
Period.
It was an experience. Like Howard truthfully, like I was talking to my friend earlier, I was like, Howard has brought me my like most favorite life moments and some of my worst moments of life.
Won't it, like, do it to ya?
Like, listen, college in general will do it to you, but an HBCU base will do it to you. Like, it definitely tested me every day, but I feel like my experience there, like, I know I will never meet that culmination of culture and mm-hmm. being surrounded by just the lack of excellence and all that comes with it. It's just, it's a different experience for sure compared to, like, you know, what you and I grew up in.
Exactly.
So I don't regret my decision at all, and I, like, Howard will always have a place in my heart.
As it should, because who wants to look back on time and be like, wow, I shouldn't have spent 4 years of my life there? Like, and right. I don't. Same situation like Seton Hall. Ups and downs, many downs, many ups. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't have the friends I have. I wouldn't have the right. experience I had. Like, right. you know, we all take it with a grain yeah. of salt. So did you go into Howard already knowing, like, I'm doing journalism, I'm doing sports, like, I'm about to be, you know, were you like, I'm about to be the Robin Roberts of, like, Good Morning America? Like, you know, like, because personally, I find journalism really intimidating. You know, there's ethics, morals.
That's interesting.
Because it's, like, ethics and morals and, like, you... Honestly, all I know of journalism is from movies of people who worked at a magazine. So that's also probably...
Are you thinking of Devil's Wears Prada?
Precisely, precisely. Exactly.
Okay. I feel like there definitely is certain journalism environments that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just to go back to, like, before we get into that, but your question. So going into college, so this is my thing, right? Mm-hmm. So my dream job has not changed.
Okay.
But what my dream job was, like, so essentially I want to be a TV talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to open up all girls schools. But, like, that has never changed. But there's not necessarily a major for that, right?
Right.
Because the closest thing really to it was journalism. Like, some schools also have TV.
Okay.
Or film majors. But the closest thing really to it was journalism because of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's an aspect of journalism where, at least at Howard, like, TV and film was more, like, behind the scenes and, like, more production level.
Gotcha.
Than it was, like, in front of the camera. At least that was, like, how they explained it to me. And so going into it, I was like, I'm just going to do journalism.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to immediately do after college because I just know I want to be the next Oprah.
Right. So how do we get there?
Right. How do we get there? This seemed like the most thing that made sense. And my parents made it very clear to me that I was going to college. fast forwarding, like, I guess, and maybe I'm going too far. Should I hold off on, like, my senior year?
No, you can jump around.
Okay, so basically, like, so yeah, I you know, did my 4 years of college, but my last year, my senior year, you know, the pandemic was thriving, right? And all of us were sent home, like, my junior year, and when my senior year came around, I actually, like, moved into an apartment,
mm-hmm.
and I did my senior year in an apartment alone, which was probably the best environment I could have been in. And during that year, I kind of was like, okay, what am I about to be doing, like, right after college? Like, I knew that being Oprah is going to take some time.
Right.
So, you know, I was just like, what really is important to me? I was having, like, inner self battle identity crisis, I would say, as in, like, okay, is journalism even really what I really want to do anymore?
Right.
Like, I always knew I wanted to come from a place where I would be informing people, but, like, my talk show also will be entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
It will be doing so much more than just reporting news. And so what also has always been a burning passion that's always been inside of me, but it's always been looked at as a hobby,
mm-hmm.
Was content creation. But it gave me an outlet where I could be on camera and where I could, like, just be myself, talk about anything that came to my mind. And that came to me around the time that I was 15 years old, when my parents told me that I could no longer, like, focus on musical performance,
mm-hmm.
and acting. And that was something that, like, I grew up doing since I was a little girl. I loved performing. Like, I always knew I wanted to be some form of an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the, like, the second half of my senior year where, like, you know, you're just applying to jobs endlessly. Like, at this point, it's just like you're applying to jobs that you're like, oh, well, this fits my resume.
Right. You're like, this kind of works. Maybe not.
Right. It's like, do I even really want to do this? And so, the crazy thing is my senior year, like, the second semester, I was taking, like, 22 credits, and I was also doing, like, 4 different internships. I was going insane. But one of the internships that I was doing happened to be a content creation internship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with this agency that I later on, like, would end up working with. And so I really enjoyed the internship. I was able to create content with, like, different brands they were working with. And I was like, dang, like, I really enjoyed this. Like, this just makes sense to me. Da, 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 da. Like, I was at the point too, like, in my senior year where, like, Howard too, like, was really pulling on me, like, through athletics, because I was an athlete, which is a whole different topic for another day. But I was also working in the athletic department in their media relations and sports information office, and, like, I'd be writing, like, season openers, which, mm-hmm. is, like, over 1,000 word type, you know, articles.
Right.
So it was like I was at, like, my wit's end with writing and doing basically all journalism things, and so content creation just seemed so refreshing,
mm-hmm.
and it just made sense. I was like, okay, I can get paid for this. Like, yeah, I did YouTube, but I was getting, like, you know, $100 check, like, $400 check, like, maybe twice a year, like,
hey, right,
like, generating me money. And I never really thought I could make a career out of content creation. So anyways, but I ended up with that content creation internship, ended up reaching out to my connect at that agency. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm about to graduate, you know, not sure if you guys have any openings within content creation or if you're even looking for somebody like that, but I would love, like, to continue working with you guys. Just wanted to put that out there. And so turns out they didn't have anything content creation full time wise, but they did offer me like a marketing role.
Okay. Yeah.
And so specifically influencing marketing. And so I basically, you know, I was like, well, it's not exactly what I want to do.
But we can make it work. We could try to make it work.
I was still in social media. I was like, shoot, this may be a learning experience. I might be able to take some things from this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, like, being able to, like, communicate with brands and other influencers was going to have some form of an impact on me from what I knew I wanted to do, which is, like, content creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, shoot, like, let's just see. So I accepted the opportunity literally a week after I had finished, like, finals. And then I think I had graduated. Like, life was just coming together all in one. Because I'll tell you one thing. I knew I was not going home. Like, I just knew in my mind I was not going back to my mama's house in New Jersey.
Listen.
So.
Sometimes you can have, and this, and I love saying this because I'm indecisive, but, like, I will do everything to figure out what I don't like. To know what's right. Gonna work for me. So if I know DC to New Jersey, absolutely not. We're gonna do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. And it worked out. So.
Right. It was something. I was like, hey, you know, not a terrible salary for coming out of college.
Right.
I will be able to, like, financially support myself. And at the end of the day, that was what
exactly
to me at that point, because I was still kind of going through an identity crisis where I was still, like, trying to figure myself out.
Yeah. And I feel like for that to happen, like, especially senior year of college, like, after you spent all this thousands of dollars of money and you were like, wait a minute, was this the right choice? You know, it's definitely like, all right, either I'm just gonna collapse into a puddle and regret literally every decision I made, or we're gonna figure it out. Don't know how, but we'll get there.
Right. And I don't regret figuring it out, like, either, like, because, like, looking back on how much I have changed as a person from, like, just accepting that job to,
mm-hmm.
We're about to get into it, y'all.
Yes. Because, and also coming from the agency world, because I had an internship at my, like, parent agency in college, but of course I'm nosy, so I stay on Glassdoor, and I was like, oh, this is their salary? Like, I don't know, that's not really great. So so coming out of college and graduating, I was like, quite literally, this is my last option. Like, I knew I was gonna get the job because it's on my resume. I have, like, some experience, but at the same time, like, if I can avoid that, I think that would be a great option. Unfortunately, we came to the agency. It was unprecedented times. I had to do what I had to do. But at any point in, like, your reflection of your college life, did grad school at all cross your mind? Because, like I've said before, like, in digital media, etc., like, seeing people with grad degrees is rarer than, like, any other field. A lot of people just, like, work their way to the top and all of a sudden they make hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yeah, like, was that ever a consideration?
Yeah, so I have such inner conflict with grad school.
Same.
Because, first of all, I barely wanted to go to undergrad. So I barely wanted to go to undergrad. The only time I really thought about graduate school was because, yes, I want to be a TV talk show host, but mm-hmm. I also knew I wanted to open up all girls schools, which is very random for somebody who's a journalism major. Like, who are we allowed to curse?
Yes, of course.
Okay, like, who the fuck are you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So I was honestly, for a while, I was actually looking at Columbia for some of, like, their education policy. Like, grad degrees that they had. And I guess, like, master programs.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I haven't really looked at many other grad programs. I have had, like, a couple of programs reach out to me, like, for digital media.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily, like, digital media is such an umbrella term.
It's big.
It's such an umbrella term. So it's just like, do I want to waste more money to go to school, like, Like, literally, exactly. I think somebody from USC, like, their office had reached out to me in LinkedIn, and I was like, yeah, babes. I don't think this is for me. Like, I was looking at, like, everything, like, the learning criteria and all. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that would be, truthfully, like, at this point, that would be the only thing that would really make sense. I'm not saying grad school isn't in my future, but I just don't see myself doing that right now. And I also, too, like, knowing how I dealt with my senior year, and I was like, I can't wait to get the hell up out of here.
Right,
like,
to do it again.
I knew grad school was nowhere near, like, an option at this current point with the pandemic and everything, and, like, how unhealthy the learning environment is.
So, oh, absolutely. And that's the crazy thing is, like, we're... Being in school is like a job for other people. Like, we're giving you money. So, like, for you to be treating me like I'm your boss in a way, but also not at the same time. That's a really big exaggeration. But, like, yeah, school environments, I really wish I could say I heard of a great one. I want the day I learn of a school where everybody's like, wow, great 4 years. Loved every single moment of it. You know, I'll shut up. Until then, I don't know. I don't know.
No.
No, unfortunately. But yeah, even I occasionally am like, should I go to grad school? And then you see like a freaking grad degree in digital media, like you said. And it's like, okay, I'm learning social media. What? Okay.
Right. Like, which is very conflicting within itself, because I definitely think there is a space, like, I know one of my career goals is definitely to, like, not just put it out there, but
manifest,
create, like, some form of a school at Howard for mm-hmm. people who are creatives, but within the social media realm,
mm-hmm.
Or within just, like, the streaming realm, like podcasting and stuff. I mean, technically podcasting is within the School of Communications, at least at Howard it was, but I think, like, the thing about content creation is you cannot learn how to be creative. It's
no.
Either you got it or you don't. And I think, like, when I think about maybe a digital media degree, like, it seems like it's really just marketing with within social media, which is
right.
Fine. But, like, for the creatives, it's like, again, it's like you have it or you don't. And I think, like, with me, in the mind of, like, what I'm thinking of in terms of, like, what I hope to achieve with Howard maybe one day is that I can give people the resources, like, the money,
mm-hmm.
the tools, the cameras, the mics, you know, and, like, yeah, because, like, again, like, being a creative in social media is just so new that it's,
mm-hmm.
like, and everything about it is so unconventional.
Right.
So it's like, and everything in college is so conventional.
Yeah.
So.
And then it's also interesting when, like, you see other influencers, for example, who, like, are like, let me sell you my masterclass on, like, how to be an influencer. And it's like, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, there is a business to this, you know, connections, etc. But at the same time, like, the basis of it is having an audience, right? Even if the audience is your followers, like, who are really just your friends. Some things aren't just like, okay, here's a formula and copy and paste it in. Everybody's going to make $100,000 in 1 year based on brand deals. Like, it feels gimmicky sometimes, even though, like, when it comes for people who've done this for, like, 10 plus years, like, you know what you're talking about. But then at the same time, it's like, content creation, like, influencer space, quote unquote, is so, like, random. Let's be honest, because you can be on TikTok and have viral videos, but that doesn't mean, like, the brands are knocking down your door to, hey, can you do a sponsored video? You know, like, it's so random.
Listen, the influencing world is definitely something, it's so complex. Like, and I say this in a way, like, because you were talking about how influencers are having master classes. I think you can definitely, as an influencer, speak to the business side
mm-hmm.
of influencing. But also, too, like, and I just want to say this, I feel like there is a very key difference within people who are influencers nowadays and people who are content creators.
Yeah.
Because, and I've been having this conversation at, like, the media company that I do work for, a lot of influencers now are, you know, people, I don't want to like put a stereotype out there, but it's people who are being popularized based off of maybe their outward appearance.
Right.
Whereas like content creators are people who are like in the lab conceptualizing ideas and like coming up with, you know, out of the box things that they know can attract an audience. Mm-hmm. Where like, you know, and if you cute,
right?
And I'm gonna just keep it like, if you cute, and if you could do a little, you know, dance. You could do a little something. You could do a little lip sync.
You have a cute outfit.
You have a cute outfit. You know, like,
right.
But I also don't want that to diminish. Like,
no,
that influencers do put it, because I technically am an influencer myself. And maybe these brand deals.
Listen.
Are a lot of work.
They really are.
A lot of work.
And I will say, I think it's so interesting for, like, quote-unquote Gen Z, because our, like, concept of an influencer, let's be honest, like, started from YouTube. Like, we weren't, like, yes, we were going to, like, our, Jackie Anna, for example. Of course, we wanted to see her put eyeshadow on because she was great at it, because she was good at it. We wanted to know her makeup recommendations because she had, you know, she got her license. She, like, knows what she's talking about. Then you have, like, other people, like, when we were younger, we grew up on Jenna Marbles, for example. She was just creative. Like, she was just doing stuff just to do it. And then at, you know, maybe like 2010s, it was like, oh, we can make some money off of this. So I will say, like, influencing the business of it is definitely hard work, because listen, coming from the digital media, like coming from the corporate side of digital media, you're like, oh, this is copy. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. It's like, influencing is marketing. And I feel like people are just like, you just pick up a phone and you just like say whatever you want. But it's like, actually, no, because like a business is paying you to do what they want. So it is still a job. So people who do shit on influencing, I'm like, okay, you pick up this phone and talk about why you like the shampoo. Go. I want to see you do it. And then I want to see how many clicks you get off of it. And, you know, like, it's so easy to like shit on it. But then at the same time, it's like, you don't see me with an engineering degree because I think it's easy to build a building, you know? Like, what? It just makes sense.
Influencers is just, like, they definitely don't get enough credit. And, like, I will say, too, like, there's just so much money in influencing right now. Like, mm-hmm. And I learned that from working at that first, like, job that I had coming out of college working at this agency. Like, we would be banging some of these girls, some of y'all rent.
Exactly.
Precisely. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, influencing takes definitely a lot. Like, I know at least me, and I'm very dramatic with it. You know, you can, if y'all ever want to check out my YouTube channel, I have like something in the live.
I'll link it. Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. like a content creator and an influencer, and I basically show like my whole process. Like, you have to have a shot list, you gotta have some inspiration for yourself. At least for my process, like, I really create myself a whole mood board because I need to visualize, I need to know what I'm gonna be doing and how I'm going to be doing it, what mm-hmm. I'm gonna be capturing. And that takes also to like time. Like, it took me, I would say, years to like understand what is aesthetic mm-hmm. and like what people are actually wanting to see out of the content that you're creating. And that's different, to be honest, throughout the various platforms that
yeah.
we have now. Like, content on YouTube is so different. And just to go back to your point about like OG YouTubers like Jackie Anna and Jenna Marbles, all of the folks, right? Like, they were going on this platform not knowing they could make money.
Not at all.
They were putting out content for fun.
Exactly.
And it just goes to show, like, content has shifted entirely. Like, I remember, like, YouTube really used to have a chokehold on me. Like, it's, when I tell you, these people really had an impact on my middle school.
Precisely.
Careers. Like, Fred, girl, Fred was going up on there and doing anything.
It
felt comforting to me.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like creativity. creativity that you just don't really see anymore. And it just, like, dang, like, yeah. I definitely miss the old part of YouTube, but I also definitely do, like, the new part of YouTube where it's, like, anyone could get up on the platform, but it's just, like, with that, it's, like, with anybody being able to do anything, it's, like, sometimes the value goes a little bit down, for sure.
Yeah, especially when you, because in the world of, like, content creating slash influencing, like, there's so many different ways of how people, like, make their money. Some people don't care. They'll be like, oh, here's this product I've never used before. You want to pay me money? Okay, that's fine. Then you have...
Right, and you should be weary of those folks.
Right.
Because they're just trying to catch a coin. Like, I cannot just be working with anybody. Like,
exactly.
Your stuff has to be quality, babe.
Exactly.
And also, too, if you're someone who's interested in being an influencer, I'm sorry, I need to cut you off.
No, you're good.
When you start getting brand deals, do not just be taking anything just for the money. You need, like, you want your audience to trust you. And you also should have that level of just ethics.
Exactly.
To, like, basic, not just take any brand deal.
Right. Because if we break it down, like, going back to, like, influence, like, pretend, you know, your friends are your followers, they're your audience. Like, how crazy am I gonna look if I'm like, oh my god, girl, try this product, I think you're really gonna love it, and they're like, okay, how is it for you? And you're over here looking like, well, I didn't actually use it, you know, like, you wouldn't do that to your friend. So
right. And to also with that, like, when you, like, people don't realize when you present something to your audience, they take that very personally. They really do consider it, because they're looking at you as someone, as a trusted resource. So you tell somebody to go buy something and, you know, they use your code and you get, you know, your little money or whatever. And, you know, it breaks a weekend or whatever the case may be.
They're going
to
be like,
that
girl.
Come back on you, babe.
Exactly.
Like, they can definitely come and be like, hey, like, I tried this product out and it literally just broke on me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know how people are going to come back at you with stuff like that. Now, obviously, there's things where things are random and they're uncontrollable, but, like, you should really be authentically presenting things to your audience as if you're not getting paid for it.
Right. And that's just me pretending I'm an influencer, but really I just have, like, the corporate side of it. So you have more of a leg to stand on than me, but, you know, but I really am curious. So as someone who is now in content creating, I think you started your YouTube channel, like, back when we were in high school. Like,
yes.
What was it like now as your first job? You're at an agency, you're on the business side of influencing as you're like, do this, you know, like, overall. And I mean, also outside of, like, your personal life, like, what was your first job, like, you know, your first big girl job, like, for you in the space that you're in?
Yeah, so my first big girl job, it technically is social media, but it's influencer marketing. And it definitely gave me a lot of insight in terms of, like, how are brands reaching out to these influencers and how are influencers reaching out to these brands and what are these influencers charging? Like, I think I got my first brand deal last year, but it was, like, around the winter time or something like that. No, I lied. I got my first brand deal during the summertime. And when I tell you, like, they offered me pennies for the amount of work that I did. And, like, looking back on it, I definitely should have asked for more, but it's like, you don't know until you do know.
Right.
And so that job was just very eye-opening in terms of, like, what I should be charging, how to approach a brand. Because even, I mean, I still am battling with that now, like, properly approaching a brand and stuff like that. But it just gave me a lot of insight on, like, how to be an influencer and the behind the scenes and the business sides of how a brand and influencing connects. Because that's essentially what the agency was doing. It was connecting influencers, doing all the outreach and, like, doing all of, like, the industry research and connecting them to the current brand. And then, like, we would be provided a budget, and then within that budget we would spend it on the influencers and the product and all of that. It was, you know, I can't speak much on it, but it just wasn't the appropriate work environment for me. It's not what I was passionate about. I definitely learned a lot, but it was not what I was passionate about. And, you know, you find yourself getting up every morning with an anxiety attack before
right.
the job that you don't
want to go. Right.
Or the weekend, you know, comes to an end and you have overwhelming Sunday scary.
Right.
So that's what I'll say about that. That job for me, so I took it on and I started, like, literally right after July 4th. Mm-hmm. And I worked it from then all the way up until, like, literally, they let me go the beginning of January.
Okay.
And we'll get more into that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely... Sundays, scaries. Honestly, it's so interesting when you start to realize, like, consciously realize, you're like, oh my God, I hate what I do every day. Like,
right.
And it looks different in so many ways. So, like, personally speaking, I really enjoyed, like, the people I worked with. Like, I will say we joked about, like, not having boundaries, but not in the way it was like, I feel like I have to, like, give my personality. It was just, like, very, like, okay, we have a conversation, then we stop talking about work, you know? But it was more so of, like, the actual client work I was doing, where I was like, we are understaffed. Me and one other person have to do, like, five people's worth of, like, job. And of course, for me, like, ebbs and flows of, like, okay, I didn't hate today. I didn't hate this week. It was actually pretty great. And then, like, another week, you're like, wow, another day in hell. And, like, who wants to feel like that, especially in an environment where, like, you're working from home? So a lot of the reasons I used to go into the office, I was like, y'all not gonna stress me out at home. You can stress me out. In this corporate building you paid for. And once I leave, I'm not logging on for the rest of the day. But no, yeah, I definitely, and it's so unfortunate too, because, like, at least for me, I feel like we always grew up watching movies and TV shows where, like, adults were miserable. They hated life. And you're like, why do you need to hate life? Why can't you do things that you love? And then you have your own bills to pay and you're like, oh, like, when I tell you February of 2021, I was like, every day, I was like, I called my mom. Used to be like, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. They're not going to see me ever again. She'd be like, Kimani, you need to have another job. Kimani, you should really think about this. Are you sure? And I'm like, no. Let go and let God. I'll find a job eventually. They are running me dry. But then, you know, months went by and I said, okay, I guess it isn't the worst thing. But yeah, I get why miserable adults existed in media.
Listen, it's so funny you said that because, yes, there definitely was, like, movies that, like, made it look like work was gonna suck, but then there was also movies that really just romanticized, like, the corporate environment, and I can't think of the movie for the life of me. I was just, like feverishly trying to Google it just now, but there was this one movie, I think it's ran by Disney, where this girl, she's actually, like, a teenage girl, and I forget, like, what happens, but her mom has to, like, go away for the summer, and she basically ends up getting this job to, like, support her brothers and sisters or something like that, but she's, like, doesn't have a college degree. I think she barely has a high school degree, but she's, like, running a whole team at this, like, corporate environment, and I feel like those type of movies, like, Held On to Me, or, like, Legally Blonde, like, those type of movies really just, like, to me, where I was like, oh my gosh, the corporate environment just seems so amazing. Like, I can't wait to, like, work in New York City and, like, that world. Like, no, babes, that is not that world.
No.
And I, you know, for people who love corporate environments, that's totally fine. I'm not, you know, shitting on corporate environments. I just know that the way that they are set up in this country
is not
conducive to how I operate.
Not at all. Yeah. And it's funny, like, I think for me, that movie was like The Devil Wears Prada. I was like, when I tell you, I was still in high school thinking, I'm going to go to college in New York City. I'm going to live in New York City. I'm going to work in New York City. I'm going to work at Vogue. Like, but then you watch it back as an adult and you're like, wow, Miranda Priestly was an absolute asshole. Everybody's scared of the boss. Why red flag? She makes everyone's lives miserable. That's another red flag. Another one right there. And it's like, wow, here's a shitty environment, but like we're glamorizing it. So it's like kind of okay. And then you're in it and you're like, actually, we can't keep glamorizing.
Right.
Not at all.
Hustle culture is not it, babes. And that's what they just show in these movies. And it's very accurate to the average corporate.
Right. Because I think now we associate hustle culture of like being an entrepreneur, but honestly it really starts in corporate America, because the way people, and I mean sure, if that's your goal, climb the corporate ladder, be, you know, the boss of X, Y, and Z, but at the same time, like, then you wonder why you have burnout, you know?
Right. I will say, I just think in general, like, it's not even, like, entrepreneurs, definitely some of them also do still breathe breed off of hustle culture, but I cannot say that is for myself.
Mm-mm. I think my only, so because I went to the business school, my only knowledge of like working past 6 o'clock was like finance bro, like, you know, oh, that's how
funders,
exactly
all of that,
oh, we'll just Street exactly guys. We'll just get the corporate, it's fine if we work late, the company car will just take us back to our apartment for free. But it's also like, but why can't it wait till 9 o'clock the next day? And
there's
why?
A reason. Oh, sorry.
No, go.
I was going to say, there's a reason why these big companies have doctor's offices in their basements, cafeterias in their buildings, and it's so that you don't have to leave the building.
They want you to be there forever. Workhorse until you die. So you did just mention that you were let go from your agency, but of course I know you're freelancing now. So, curious to know if, like, at you hating your job anyway, like, what was that like looking back on it now, kind of seeing like, oh, this is when my attitude changed, or oh, this is when like my mental health started going downhill, if it did, like, what would you say, like, looking back, was that like end of your agency job going into like, okay, I'm just gonna freelance because this makes me so much more happier, you know?
So, this is where the story gets crazy. So, basically, I have been working at this job, right, from, like, July, basically till very early January, but really December is when it ended for me. So, basically, before we even get into, like, how I transitioned, because it wasn't even really a transition, it was, like, a kickstart. Basically, I was working from July to December with this job. Technically, January is when I got let go, but my like actively working was in December, like finishing off in December. So early December, I was going through a lot of health issues and I had to get a procedure done. And right after I like kind of, you know, healed from that procedure, everybody in their mama got COVID and I was everybody in their mama.
Damn.
And so it was like my body could never heal. And then literally after COVID, and not even after COVID, like after my 2 weeks, I had to do another procedure because the first time around, it wasn't exactly successful. And I remember even going to my second procedure, I was still testing positive for COVID. And that was like over a month later after having COVID.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is actually insane. This is not leaving my body. Needless to say, within that time period of like a month and a half, I was extremely ill. I was extremely weak. But I was still working. Like, I took some time off, but I just didn't take enough time off. And I wasn't able to like turn things around as quickly. And it was kind of becoming like an issue at my job and whatnot. And I just knew, like, before we had like broke off into winter break, I had this weird, I don't know if it was God or if it was the universe, but I just knew I wasn't going back to that job. Like, I knew I was not going back to that job.
Listen,
and
it'd be like that.
I really do. And so January came along. I had to get my second procedure. And after coming back from my second procedure, I got let go. Like, literally the day that I, like, signed back on.
You're like, okay, back from probably the most horrendous month ever, down bad, physically, you know, right. But...
And one day, y'all, I will tell you what those procedures are, and you will get it in a book form, and you will hear about how I literally thought God was about to beat me up, because that's what it was feeling like.
Oh, my God.
The health was so bad, the mental part of it all too, like, was so low. I was like, dang, like, am I getting taken out, like, of this earth, like,
is 2021, that's it for me, nothing else,
right?
Like, oh my God,
but no, like, God really just had another plan for me.
It's so interesting because, like, you don't know what's happening or, like, how things go until you do. Like, you know, the most knowledge I have is, like, recently, the girls in tech, I say girls facetiously, men too, are, like, right. You know, tech layoffs. And it's like, after this whole wave of, like, anybody can get into tech. Oh my God, you just need to do X, Y, and Z. And you can have all these benefits, have great work-life balance, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's like, oh, actually, like, just kidding. Like, I got laid off, you know? So and now as we approach a recession ? You know, it's like, what the hell is about to happen? And it's people our age that are about to learn these things for the first time.
Exactly. So yes, I was told why.
Okay.
Yeah. I just can't really get into it. Like, I would love to get into it because at that time, I needed the money, so I had to accept what they offered me.
Bills. My exit agreement. Bills had to be paid.
They did.
You had to keep the lights on.
You have to keep the lights on.
And that's
didn't want to go home to my mom.
Precisely. And you did what you had to do. What does Coco Jones say? And you too would do it for your check, you know?
Right. Yeah, that is wild. But it's so true.
That happens. So, now here you are, breathing like a new human being.
Let me just back up just a little bit. I forgot to include this part. Okay, I feel like I'm not going to go back to this job. I don't know why that's the case. Mm-hmm. This is also like late December, around Christmas time and the holidays, so we're off. And I'm like, you know, doing my cute little New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And in the resolutions, I just put down, oh, I'm going to start my own like video editing business. You know, thinking something that I'm going to transition into like at some point in 2021. Who knows? Maybe I'll do it part-time. You know, whatever. Like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Right.
I just knew at one point I was going to open up a video editing business. But I'm thinking it's something I would, like, add on to, like, the current job I was working at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, slowly build up and take on more clients until I could find me and truly, like, knew I could walk away. And, you know, God had other plans. I think in the heart of hearts, God knew I would have taken way too long to leave that job.
Okay.
Way too long to leave that job.
You know, like one more month or just like.
Right.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like I put 110% into things I'm not even passionate in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because, like, that's just how I was raised. That's how I operate. And so I'm that type of person that, like, I don't like to quit on things either, but I knew this I was going to have to leave. Like,
yeah.
So my, after getting, you know, that day, after I called my best friend, and then I called my parents, my mom's freaking out, she's like, oh my God, like, we need to come up with a plan, like, you need to start applying to jobs. Now, mind you, I have been applying to jobs since, like, November.
Listen.
And, you know, you just be applying to jobs when you're at your job, because it's just like,
especially on the company laptop. Yes.
Yes.
I will be on LinkedIn. Yes.
Right. Listen, I might not have that open for work sign, but it's open for work. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so yeah. So at this point, it's January and I'm like, job. I'm just gonna open up my own business.
And we'll see where we go from there.
Right. And I created myself a cute little ad, and people just loved it. And immediately after that, I remember I just got DMs of people being like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Like, I've been always wanting to work with you. And, you know, I just added in a couple more marketing tactics so people could find me on the social medias. I put in my, like, LinkedIn title that I was a video editor and content creator. I put in my Instagram name, video editor, so that whenever you editor, my name pops up, babes. And that's just a pro tip for those of you who are like, how are you getting discovered? Because when I tell you, I get DM'd like multiple times throughout the week for people who be like, hey, I see you're a video editor. Da, da, da. And the only reason they know that is because I put that in the name of my Instagram. Because it's searchable.
Marketing tactics, baby.
Hey, you gotta work it. You gotta work it. So yeah, and then of course I like reached out to my network. I let people know, hey, I'm opening up for business and stuff like that. Let people know if they needed any, you know, anybody to help with them. And the great thing about it, like, with my business, because I've been editing for 8 years, I didn't have to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, let me do some free work. No, babes. Mm-mm. I was not doing that. We had to start with a price. I will definitely say the price has grown up.
Listen, as it should.
Listen, when I tell you, when I first started off, y'all, I was not charging what I needed to be charging. And, you know, sometimes you just need to be honest and tell people what you're charging within your industry. And they will be like, yeah, no.
Right.
And it's don't be embarrassed. It's just a moment to let you know that you could be making a lot.
Right. Everybody has a budget. This person may not be able to afford you, but somebody else will.
Thank you. And I just want to make that very clear. Like, I get DMs all the time. I have about 5 rotating clients right now.
And you started this, like, top of this year, I want to say? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like, clients who, like, reach out to me whenever. I have some that are, like, repetitively, like, week to week. But the other ones, like, maybe hit me up, like, once a month kind of thing. And then two, like, in between that, you know, the minute you put out into the atmosphere that you are doing such and that you will do such, suddenly opportunities pour in. And that's when you know. That's truly when you know you are in your purpose.
Truly.
Like, when I tell you, so the first sign for me, the reason why I even was like, oh, maybe I should open up a video editing business one day, my uncle had retired, a very, like, well-known journalist in Philadelphia, like, has been on ESPN multiple times, and literally is, like, that black journalist that has helped some of these boys get into the draft, okay? And into, like, all the top, like, professional athletic leagues. He's very renowned. He's in the Philadelphia Hall of Fame. Like, he has books. He's very well-known. I created a whole video. Well, I edited a video of, like, a compilation of people throughout, like, his friendships throughout his life, or, like, even people who have worked with him. And I just edited it, and I didn't even have time to go to his retirement party, but, you know, it was presented there, and somebody from ESPN came up to my cousin and said, hey, like, if you ever want a job at ESPN, like, just let us know, because they thought she edited the video.
He said, actually, love that sentiment. However, that is my cousin. So, keep that thought.
That was, and mind you, this was before I even was like, yeah, I would have a video editing this, but that was the first sign. But anyways, needless to say, so we're back in January, February. Opportunities are coming my way. I remember it was actually Valentine's Day. One of friends who I like interned with back at NBC Sports when I was at college reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, the Undefeated owned by ESPN, da da da, which is now called Anscape. They're, you know, looking for someone who seems like a content creator. I know you just opened up for business. They reached out to me, but I feel like you would be a really good fit. Can I, like, put you in contact with, like, this person? Why the fuck not? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Why would I say no?
And literally, I remember it was, like, in the month of March that I did, like, a whole... When I tell you, I came up with a whole pitch deck of ideas, and I just presented it to my contact, who's now, like, technically, I guess, like, my manager at Anscape. I, like, presented to him some ideas that I had, and now I have two running series on their Instagram and TikTok. One is On the Rise, and the other one is Here's the Scoop, and they both are basically, like, centered around award show recaps and then, like, upcoming Black celebrities, athletes, and prominent figures within the Black community. Basically, people who are, like, B-list deserve a little bit more shine.
Yeah.
You know? And then I also produce their HBCU On the Yard Snapchat show. And that's very on brand for me because I'm HBCU through and through.
Right.
So that's just some contract work with that I do with them. And then, let's see, I'm like,
and I love this because a lot of the times, like, I used to hate in college when people are like, you need a network. You really need to expand your network. And you're like, all right, like, make small talk with, like, random people, sure. But then once you, like, meet people in your industry or industry adjacent or, like, okay, maybe you went to the same school different years apart, like, you really form, like, a community of just, like, oh, I think I remember this person who does this. And it's not even necessarily, like, you guys have to be best friends, buddy buddies, but it's, like, if you just simply, like, had a good conversation, if you come off as, like, a decent human being, you know, it's stuff like that that works in your benefit. Because you'll never know where they be. And that's why I am not going to turn down a LinkedIn request. Because just because we're both at an agency right now, or just because, you know, we're in the same field, kind of different companies, I don't know where you're going to be years down the road.
Exactly.
And we're going to keep that connection, and you're going to remember this Black face.
Listen, 99% of the internships and the jobs that I've gotten is through networking. Because I would say, you could put in the best resume, you could put in the best cover letter, you could be the best candidate for a job, but babes, if so-and-so's uncle, so-and-so's mentor works at the company that they want to, you know, apply to the same job as you, 9 in 10 times it's gonna go to them. And
exactly,
because people really, like, people value more of, like, connections than they do of, like, what you put on your resume,
right,
what you put on your cover letter. And I hate to say it, because it's just, like, you pour so much energy and time into your resume and your cover letters,
don't
just for someone to overlook you because so-and-so's cousin has maybe the same skill set, maybe has less,
right,
but they're, you know, a person they know works there.
Exactly. And even as something, and this is something I learned when I left my agency and now I'm at my new job, the LinkedIn recruiters, they are persistent. They will, hey, did you see my message? They'll get you down. However, even if it's, and for me, like, a lot of the LinkedIn recruiters, they were like, granted, my same position, like, my same level, different agency, whatever. Even you could simply be like, I simply said, sorry, I'm, like, not looking to move to another agency. Sorry, like, my new interest lies here and here, but, like, I appreciate you reaching out. Something as simple as that. I've had so many recruiters be like, oh, thank you for letting me know. Like, let's stay in contact. Like, let's stay connected. And maybe who knows what's in the future. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And you, like, someone you may talk to, like, from 2 years ago, you just never know. Like, you That's why also too, you have to be very careful with how you move in the work environment. Do not burn bridges with folks.
Oh no.
Listen, someone who might piss you off at that internship, you might come back around to them a couple years later and have to work hand in hand with these folks.
Exactly.
So it's just like, never burn any bridges. Like, your network is very important. I value network over anything when it comes to like career opportunities.
If 20-year-old me heard me saying this, I'd be like, girl, shut the fuck up, stop lying. But unfortunately, who's looking at your resume? A robot.
Look, and I also wanted to mention that too, like, so outside of like, say you don't have a connect to this job that you want to go to, right, they have systems, and they don't really be talking about this, but when you apply to jobs, they have like systems where they pick up keywords, mm-hmm. resumes, and cover letters. I am that girl who will literally look at the job description and copy the words,
mm-hmm.
and put them into my resume and cover letter.
Because guess what? I'm going to pass. Mm-hmm. This computer is going to recognize me.
It's going to recognize me. I remember I had applied to like some internship. I think it was like NBC or CBS back when I was in college. I didn't end up getting it, but within 10 hours of me applying, I had an interview. And that's because I literally inserted the correct words into my resume, and it went to the chopping of the
show. It is so crazy because the same thing happened to me. I applied for this job at Condé Nast, interviewed for it, didn't get it. But I think it was like a Tuesday. By Thursday, like, whoever was in charge of, like, finding that position, like, DM'd me on LinkedIn. And I was like, girl, ain't no man. 2 days? 2 days? You found me in 2 days? So now it's like, oh, so there's clearly a system here. These other 50,000 jobs I applied to before didn't hit in some way. But, like, it's so crazy to think about. And even, like you said before, even if you don't have, like, a network or people to connect with, I am the first person. I'm starting, there's a few more, like, Black people in media that, like, I've been connecting with on LinkedIn, etc. And literally all I have to do is be like, hey, insert name here. Love your experience in partnerships or entertainment or, you know, like, random ass, like, it could be like they have one job that I'm like, I would love to do that one day in my future. I'll just be like, love your experience in this. I find it so inspiring. I would love to connect with you. If not everybody, like, pretty much like 95% people have been like, okay, thank you. Like,
yes, no, listen,
crazy.
Listen. And I'm so glad you brought this up because say you don't have that connection. First of all, let me bring it back before we get to there. If you're not on LinkedIn, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Beyonce. You need to be on LinkedIn.
You need to be.
You need to be on LinkedIn. I don't care what field you're in. Like, I know so many people our age who are not on LinkedIn, and I'm like, you're not moving how you could be moving.
You're really missing out.
Like, when I tell you LinkedIn has you LinkedIn, like, it's like no exaggeration because, like, say you're applying to a job, what LinkedIn does so well about is, like, say you have, you know, somebody within your network, mm-hmm. that works at that job, that pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that type of person, listen, I may have never spoken to you in my entire life.
Nope.
But if I see that, you know, or like if they also do this too, like if someone from Howard, so like someone from your school, like also works at that current job.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm not connected to them, I will literally DM them and be like, hey, I see you work at, you know, so-and-so's job, you know, whatever company, Apple, like, mm-hmm. let's say Apple. And, you know, like, it doesn't, I don't want to phrase this. Basically, like, say someone that, like, you know, works at Apple, well, geez, now I'm messing up my words. Say that this person that you see that is, like, either directly connected to you or, like, went to your college,
mm-hmm.
and DM them, and you're like, hey, I see you work at Apple, da da da. Like, how do you like working there? You know, you can sneak in that you just recently applied to a job, but just ask them, you know, what is your experience? I'm that type of person, hey, as a Black person, how was your experience at this company? Da, 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 da. Like, oh, I see that you went to Howard and I also went to Howard. Oh, I see you're part of this organization and I was a part of this organization.
It takes one thing. One
little connection. I tell you, some of these folks will go the extra mile for you. They'll be like, oh, you applied to so-and-so job? Oh, I'm going to talk to HR tomorrow. What?
Right.
I didn't even ask them that, but it's in a way of like, I took the time to message them, to ask them about their experience and to like, you know, maybe celebrate them in a way, whether it's like we have something in common. And it's just like you making that connection, you just never know what that could bring to you. I remember
it's like crazy.
I remember I had to fight to some job at BuzzFeed. When I say this lady was talking to me back and forth for 2 months, she never met me in my entire life, but it's the fact that she went to Howard that she was rooting for me in any way she could.
I love that. Insane. Exactly. It's so... Wow. And I still do shit on LinkedIn because LinkedIn influencers, I'm like, if I see one more person with recruiter in their bio and they're like, guys, we need to stop asking for entry-level experience and asking for 0 to 5, you know, like random like things us as a, like as a society, we're like, wow, that's fucked up. We shouldn't do that. Like, they do ruin LinkedIn for me. I'm just here to scroll. I'm here to look at where you used to work at, where you're working at now, who you're working with, you know, like, and we'll just call it a day. But once you get past that, you know, it does make so many valid points.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And then also too, like, some other just like tips. When you do get the interview, you need to make it your business to stalk the person who's interviewing.
Absolutely.
I am that girl. I'm on their LinkedIn page. I know they can see me on their LinkedIn page and I don't give a fuck.
Listen, oh yeah, I used to have shame. Not anymore.
No, you can't. You can't. Like, and they like that. Like, they like that. They like to talk about like their past. Like, I'm definitely that girl in the interview, like, oh my gosh, I saw that you worked at like such and such, like, I also work there too, or like, I want to work there one day so bad, like, tell me, like, you know, like, just start like some form of a conversation with them to let them know that this is personal,
right?
And that like they can relate to you in some way. Like, I know in this media job that I have also added onto my plate now, I was blessed to have such two amazing interviews with two amazing Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And we found ourselves in the middle of this interview talking about tooth gems. Okay? My point is that you look at somebody's LinkedIn page and you find what y'all can both talk about.
Exactly.
So what are your 3 strikes? Because I'm telling you, as much as you hate answering those questions, they hate asking them.
Right. And then especially, it's like, all right, how are we going to remix this? How are we going to make it different?
Right.
Because, No, go.
I was going to say, too, like, now interviews have transitioned from something that was used to be so intimidating to now, like, conversations.
Mm-hmm.
At least on my end. And maybe it's, like, because my resume speaks for itself at this point, but there was definitely points where, like, as an intern or, you know, someone who wanted to be an intern in a company, like, it was very much, like, structured mm-hmm. questions, like, what are your abilities? And what
right.
are you in this situation?
Snooze.
Now, like, people are like, okay, babe, so, like, what ideas do you have?
Right. I'll never like, forget.
What do you think about this?
Like, I'll never forget the one time somebody was like, in an actual interview, they were like, okay, so if you were like any part in a car, what would you be? I said, well, originality points. You took me by surprise, did not see this coming. Like, nobody, and especially in this quote unquote great resignation, I don't know if it's still going on, child. Did it even exist for digital media? I have no idea. Well, there's always high turnover, so whatever. But, like, why are we having boring conversations these days? And if we are,
exactly.
You better find a way to mix, like, okay, 3 strengths. Mix it up. Give them something new, something different.
Exactly. Because there's a point, too, like I said, like, where your resume will speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shouldn't have to sit here and tell you that I've been video editing for 8 years because it already said it on my resume when you saw that I started YouTube in 2015.
Exactly. So, they can read.
They can read.
They got they this far.
They can definitely read. They can definitely read. But I will say, I don't know if that's something that, like, if you're in college right now, babe, don't, like, prepare for the worst, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Prepare for the worst. There. Also, too, for, sorry, buddy, but also, too, for interview questions, like, if your company is on Indeed or Glassdoor, look up what questions people are being asked on interviews.
Absolutely.
I am that girl. I will literally go through all the questions, copy, paste, and put them in a notes or, like, a Google Docs and have the answers already ready so that when the interview happens, babe, it's there. It's there.
I got
it's
you. Rehearsed. I'm one step ahead.
I know what you're about to ask me. Yeah. So.
The life we live. It's so, like, it's so interesting that at a certain point, it just kind of turns into a game, unfortunately. But at the same time, like, you're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to make more money for your company. You know, we're just gonna, it's mutually beneficial. Let's just do what we have to do. And call it a day.
Yeah, I thought we could talk forever about what career tips.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, how to even, you know, be successful, I guess, in terms of, like, getting that first job or first internship. But, yeah, no, there's so much. But that probably going to have to be another podcast.
For real. Literally. Because even I'm sitting here now and I'm like, the amount of interviews I sat through between, like, me finishing the first season of this podcast to now, I'm like, did I say this already? Did this happen before or after? Like, you, like, once you feel like you've learned a lot, like, then there's, like, something else. You're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. I will say for journalism, like, traditionally with journalism, you should have a portfolio and, like, a reel of all the different types of, like, stand-ups and, like, interviews that you've done into, like, one big reel or throughout your website. And then also, to, like, make sure you link out all of your best articles. Not all of them, just your best articles, because I'm not linking out my freshman year articles.
Ooh, also, nobody should.
Right. I'm not in, like, the traditional journalism space, but for anyone who was wondering, that's what that is. But in terms of, like, what I'm doing now and content creation, you definitely need to have a portfolio of your work and just showcase, like, basically I have my own website and I have a portfolio page that, like, it opens up with questions. Like, are you looking for your event to be covered? Are you looking for your influencer content to be edited? And mm-hmm. I'll just link out the different types of, like, examples of works that I've had, but I form it in a way of a question mm-hmm. so that the person can find what they're looking for on my website. And then I also have, like, on my website a form that they could fill out if they want to work with me.
Gotcha.
And you'd be surprised. You would think a lot of people wouldn't go look for that, but a lot of people, like, I would say probably, like, at least once a week someone fills out that form and, like, wants to work with me. But, like, it's the fact that they're taking the time to click the link in my Instagram bio and going through my little link tree and finding my website and going through my website. So, like,
They're about it.
But, yeah, you definitely, like, and I try to, like, show very much diverse content. Like, whether it be in YouTube format, like 1080p or 4K, or whether it's in vertical format, just to let people know, like, I'm able to do all the things, but then also, like, diversity in terms of, like, I have some of my journalism stuff up there, or I have some of, like, my Antscape stuff up there, which is, like, entertainment, or I have some of my client work up there, which is just, could be anything based off the clients that I have, so just trying to make it as diverse as possible so that the person, too, also knows that you'd probably be able to do anything.
Right.
That they're going to ask.
So now that you are freelancing, now that you are in charge of pretty much your own schedule, you have, you know, your clients that you work with, but also this, like, you're running a company's whole entire TikTok.
Yes.
How do you, has it been hard for you to, like, find a work-life balance where it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm doing too much work, like, this specific day, or, like, okay, maybe I should get off the couch and, like, put a little, you know, like, have you found yourself like, oh wait, what am I doing?
Yes, no, you're so right. So work-life balance is something I'm currently working on.
Honest, and that's honest.
It's honest, and, like, as an entrepreneur, that's very honest. Like, when I tell you, it's just taking some time. Like, first of all, when you break out of, like, that traditional 9-to-5 environment, you have to kind of figure out how you work. Like, mm-hmm. I know personally me, I work better at night. I get my most creative thoughts at, like, probably 3 a.m., but I know the normal world works during the day. Mm-hmm. So I've had some challenges, like, you know, forcing myself to be creative during the day. But, you know, you have to make it work. I will say in terms of, like, my hours. you know, it really depends on the work, the amount of work that I have at the time. Like, there's days where, listen, there's days I might not even work, babe. And it's because, like, I have that freedom.
Yeah.
And just, like, to break down all the things that I do, just to give people context. So I have my own video editing content creation business. I have my own personal brand as an influencer. So that includes my Instagram, my TikTok, my YouTube that I put content out on and that I get brand deals with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do this contract work with Anscape. And then I also run Kyra Media's at blended.official's one-stop shop for all things beauty channel. So, and that's on TikTok. So, needless to say, I'm doing a lot of different things, but they're all kind of within the same realm. And honestly, I feel like when I'm at my most productive and I'm at my highest level is when I'm properly, like, I think the word is batching,
mm-hmm.
I want to say, where it's like you're doing the same task in one setting, if that makes sense. Is that the correct word? Am I using the correct word?
Like batch content, like you're doing, like you're filming a bunch, like on one right. day. Yeah.
Right. So, like, I realize when I'm my most productive self is when I have my filming days, and then when I have my editing days, and then when I have my conceptualizing days.
Mm-hmm.
But also, too, as a creative, because your mind is, it's very hard to turn off, you definitely need to have your downtime days. Like, there's definitely days where I'm like, yeah. I need to just, like, go to the pool for a minute.
Let's shut the brain off and call it a day.
Shut the brain off. You know, and it's like I'm trying to figure out what would be best working for me. Ideally, I would love to get up at 6 a.m.
Girl.
And, like, be Oprah, but...
You know, was it Issa... Is it Issa Rae who also says she gets up at, like, 5 a.m. or some ungodly hour? I feel like there's a lot of our faves are, unfortunately, waking up at the crack of dawn. And maybe I'm just not ready to be a mogul yet.
I'm screaming.
Because I'm so sorry. Like, you got me at 7. I can work with that. 5, 6, the people who get up at 4 to run to start their day, I just simply wish I could, but not at this time in my life.
Discipline is, as listen, not to bring astrology, but the Aquarius in me, the discipline is a challenge. Like,
same.
Like, there's times where I will really, like, I'll get up early, 6 a.m., and I'll get, like, a bunch of work done, be done at, like, 5, maybe, and then, like, just chill for the rest of the day and just feel so great about myself, like, I got everything I
right.
need to do off of my checklist. But the issue with that is that, like, you have to be careful, because when you're so hyper-productive and you don't have any boundaries, burnout happens inevitably, and yeah. But I would say, like, at this point in time, what my main focus is making sure that I'm able to get my work done,
mm-hmm.
but in an environment that allows me to still be able to work out, still be able to deal with my mental health. Mm-hmm. Like, I have not been to therapy in a month. And that's for many reasons of, like, oh, I just don't have time. Like, no.
Girl, same.
It's for many reasons.
I have a whole anxiety disorder, and I thought I had ADD. Turns out it's just mental fatigue caused by my anxiety disorder. And I'm still like, oh, I need to find a therapist. I've known about this for months. Sure, I'll still say it's my mental fatigue that makes me forget. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I'll get to it. And then I don't. And then another month goes by.
It's because therapy is a job in itself. Like, therapy is you acting on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also draining as well. It's you opening up about traumas that you've kept in your back pocket. Okay? It's like, it's work. It's basically...
It's not rest time.
It's not rest. It's, like, feel better after therapy, after you've gotten it out. hearing in therapy, I'm like, God damn, am I really saying this out my mouth?
Right.
So, and it's like also opening up to a stranger, depending on the person you are, it could be harder than for others. But some people are also like, oh, I'd rather open up to a stranger than someone I know because I don't want to hear the opinions of them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. So, yeah, work-life balance is something that I'm actively working on. But recently, I've been doing Pilates, and that's helped me a lot, like, mentally.
Yes.
And I've been kind of, like, using a crutch on that. But also, too, I realize when I do work out,
mm-hmm.
my days are more productive as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Everything's a balance. Everything's just figuring out at a certain point. But honestly, same. I also like started consistently working out. And then I actually started changing my diet. And I was like, wow, I'm seeing results. I thought this was all a scam. That's so interesting. And now I'm like starting to run where me in high school... No, I was using my asthma as an excuse. I was not doing the mile day in gym. Absolutely not. So we're working through things. We're trying new things. We're trying to not. And especially when like you work from home or like a lot of my hobbies, quote unquote, are like I do them in the house. It's not like I, you know, am on like a kickball league or something, you know. So it's like, okay, how can I move my body outside of these like four walls?
You need to get out of the house and touch the fucking grass.
Touch the grass, yeah. Breathe the
it's
air.
So being a hermit is so easy to do, but it's also extremely unhealthy.
For real. But, oh my gosh. Honestly, Tiff, I really enjoyed this conversation. So fruitful, so bountiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love your insight. I think... You're also, like, the first person that I interviewed who does do content creation is, like, in this world. So, I love having just different people in different pockets talking about their thing. Because we're all out here trying to figure it out together.
Facts.